Welcome back to Eco Talk. Is our new energy policy a big waste of energy? And what's the point of an energy bill that doesn't save energy? Some of the questions we're going to be looking at this segment. Big news this week, and that is the action taken on the so-called energy bill. And we have to mention that we are taping this program on Wednesday afternoon, California time, and the energy bill, as we speak, is working its way through Congress. Not surprising, many of the incentives for encouraging renewable energy development have been taken out, while the benefits for the fossil fuel industry remain in. And for some analysis and reaction, we're going to say hello to Karen Whalen, the legislative director for the Natural Resources Defense Council. Thanks for joining us, Karen.
Hi, Betsy. Thank you for having me.
Are you mad as heck and don't want to take it?
I'm really mad. You know, this energy bill is worse than a waste of energy because it's not going to help us with the price we pay at the pump. And everybody recognizes that, from, you know, the people who wrote the bill in Congress to President Bush. And so it's not going to reduce our dependence on oil, and it's got huge giveaways, as you mentioned. And so you're sort of wondering, you know, what's the point of this energy bill?
What is the point? And even Senator Jeff Bingaman of New Mexico, who brought us some hope as the ranking Senate Democrat participating in the energy negotiations, seemed to kind of settle.
He did settle. You know, the Democrats sent out a list of things that had to be in a Democratic energy bill, and Senator Bingaman had signed on to that list, and it included things like oil savings provisions. It included a what we call a renewable electricity standard, which would require utilities to generate 10% of their electricity from renewable energy sources. That list of requirements that they had to have included some kind of mandatory carbon cap, you know, to help reduce global warming, pollution, and it also included keeping in rollbacks of environmental laws out of the final bill. And in the end, they didn't get any of the things that they were demanding, and yet it looks like a lot of members of Congress on both sides of the aisle are going to support this bill. And it begs the question, who are they listening to?
Exactly, and who are they representing? Mm-hmm. Well, Bill Nelson, Senator Bill Nelson, Democrat from Florida, is quoted as saying, the energy bill does little to nothing to reduce our dependence on Middle East oil, and criticized the bill's failure to seriously address automobile fuel efficiency. There was just some research released this week, from the Yale Department of Environmental Studies, saying that a majority, something like 86% of Americans, are concerned about our dependence on oil and feel that it's the time to act has come. They're literally not listening to the American people.
They're not listening to the American people, and they are not listening to anybody who's in sort of the energy world who is looking at what our dependence on oil means for our economy, for our national security, for everybody's pocketbooks. We're all saying with a unanimous voice that this country needs a new energy policy, and the bill that Congress is considering right now is an energy policy from the last decade.
Mm. And we are, again, recording this program on Wednesday, but what can you tell us about this bill that will not change in the next 48 hours?
Nothing will change because it's now it's a conference report, and neither the House nor Senate can amend it. So what you see is what you get. It is important for your listeners to know that Congress is going to vote on this bill before most people have had a chance to read most of it. The tax package, which has billions and billions of dollars in tax breaks for a polluting company, is like the oil and gas industry, the nuclear industry, the coal industry, that tax package just got released this morning. It's very long and very complicated, and I think the House is going to vote on it tomorrow morning. So you can bet that most members of Congress and their staffs will not have read this bill before they vote on it.
It's been a long time since this country's even had an energy policy, if we ever did, really. How long will this one be enforced?
That's a great question, because Congress will only tackle comprehensive energy legislation maybe once a decade, maybe every 15 years. So the bill that they're considering now is an energy policy for our children. And it is not a new energy policy. It's more of the same. It looks just like an energy policy that they would have passed 30 years ago, which is really relying on conventional production, oil, gas, nuclear, and coal. And what we really need to do is to shift away from our dependence on fossil fuels and do some aggressive investment in energy conservation, energy efficiency, and renewable sources of energy. And that's not happening.
So the fossil fools who are out there making this thing pass are actually hurting us, not helping us. Is there any good news in there?
You know, there are a few provisions in there that will, in a good package of energy policy would save energy. But when you combine those few little, there's some innovative tax efficiency things. There are some incentives for renewables, but it's important to note that there are no new incentives in the bill to increase our deployment of renewable energy sources. There are so many missed opportunities in this bill that the few little bright lights don't add up to an energy policy that saves us energy.
What about the ethanol provision? What's the NRDC's policy on ethanol?
NRDC believes that we need to start looking to biofuels like ethanol, fuels that are homegrown, as a way to take the place of oil and gas. The problem with this ethanol package is that it will be a mandate to use 7.5 billion gallons of ethanol a year. And we know that the more ethanol you use, the worse the air quality you get. And there are ways that Congress could have written the bill that would have protected air quality, but they chose to leave those provisions out of the bill. So we'll see more ethanol and more dirty air with this bill.
And in addition to corn farmers benefiting from this bill, I understand the nuclear industry and the coal industry also did pretty well.
They did pretty well. It is astounding the billions and billions of dollars that are going to go to those two industries. With respect to the coal subsidies, what NRDC was hoping to see was the use of new technologies which would capture the carbon when you burn coal and inject it down into the ground, so that instead of adding to our greenhouse gas emissions, we'd actually be capturing some of that and keeping it out of the atmosphere. There are no such provisions in this energy bill. And when you look at the nuclear subsidies, those are over $6 billion in subsidies to the nuclear industry, one of the most profitable industries in the country, and yet they're still asking for taxpayer handouts in order to build new nuclear power plants. And it remains to be seen whether the electricity that they would produce would even be economic without those huge continued government subsidies.
Senator Bingaman was quoted today as saying, given the makeup of the Congress today and given the policies of the administration, this is as good a bill as I think we could hope to get. Do you agree?
I think at this point that no bill is better than this bill. Congress should go back to the drawing board and start again. If they pass this bill, as I said before, we're not going to see another energy bill for 10 to 15 years. So what they do this week will set in stone energy policy. And if this is as good as they can get, they should stop.
Quit, go home, right?
Quit and go home, right.
Dinosaurs, get out of the way, as I like to say. Jill Lancelot is quoted today as she's the president of the watchdog organization Taxpayers for Common Sense. This energy bill is filled to the brim with massive giveaways from mega-rich energy companies. Do you agree with that assessment?
I absolutely agree with that. You know, this is a feast for the oil and gas industries, and they've left scraps on the table for, you know, clean energy like renewables and energy efficiency.
Okay, I think I asked you this last time I interviewed you, Karen. When does the revolution start?
It's out there. It's out there. And what I really think we need to do is look, you know, follow the money. Because the American people, as you mentioned, totally get that this bill is not going to help them when they fill up their car. They're demanding things like energy-efficient vehicles, and they can't keep them on the lots when they're provided for them.
And this bill will do nothing to reduce gas prices, by the way, either.
Right.
Not that that's
and
the answer.
That's exactly right. And the American public gets that. But Congress isn't listening because they are much more beholden to the people who give them large sums of money. And that is, you know, big business.
Okay. So if we're mad as hell, we don't want to take it anymore, what can we do? What should we do?
Well, you've got to call between now and, you know, the end of the year. You've got to call your representatives and let them know how you feel about both energy policy specifically and about who they're listening to when they cast a vote in general.
And
they ought to be listening to the people who cast the votes, not who write the checks.
And the consequences of this energy policy are not just business as usual. A lot of this damage is not reversible as we remain, you know, stuck in this quagmire of war and terrorism, greenhouse gas emissions, particulate pollution, asthma, and this does nothing to get us off oil and nothing to address any of these problems,
That's
really.
That's right. You know, there is a huge boom to go into all of our special places, like the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, which, by the way, is not in this energy bill.
That will be coming up in October in the budget bill, right?
It's coming up. Yeah. But there's a huge move in this country to drill everywhere that we possibly can. And
except
what that
Detroit.
Means
except
is that
Detroit.
Those places will be destroyed, and we will have a very limited natural heritage to pass on to our children. I mean, this is not just business as usual, as you said. This is an energy policy that takes us way backwards.
And it's hard to imagine, you know, a confluence, a compilation of so many circumstances that would point to action now, a change in course, not business as usual.
And again, once again, Congress is hearing it from not just environmentalists, but from very conservative national security experts who are saying we have got to do something to wean ourselves off our dependence on oil. It's bad for the economy, it's bad for the environment, and it's really bad for national security.
They're just not listening.
And they're just not listening.
Thank you. Karen Whalen, Legislative Director for the National Resources Defense Council. You're listening to Eco Talk on Air America Radio. We'll be right back.